The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Without doubt, the most famous ever boxing professional bout held in Ireland was back in 1972 when the renowned world champion Muhammad Ali took Ireland by storm. A fight was organised in Croke Park. It was in the summer of July, a balmy evening against Al Blue Lewis. And to celebrate all that happened, because the fight was the least of the story in terms of the mayhem that Muhammad Ali caused for the week or so that he was here, is celebrated in a new book called The Big Fight, When Ali Conquered Ireland, and its author, Dave Hannigan, who launched the book last week, joins me now. First of all, tell me the backstory here.
The backstory is, it's a classically an oldie Ireland tale. A man called Buddy Sugrue is running a pub in London, a Kerry man called Buddy Sugrue, who most people of that generation knew as a circus strongman, has a ridiculous idea that he's going to bring Muhammad Ali to fight in Dublin in the summer of 1972. He announces this plan and everybody laughs. Everybody in Dublin laughs. Everybody in London laughs. And yet, on July 19th, 1972, somehow, some way, Muhammad Ali climbs through the ropes in the middle of Croke Park to fight Al Blue Lewis.
Now, he was one of the most famous people in the world, even beyond sport, in the 70s. At this stage, what way was his career? Did he go on to achieve more? Like, did he win an Olympic gold and then turn professional?
Yeah, he was 10 years into his, more than 10 years into his professional career, but he'd had 2.5 years forced absence from the ring for opposing the Vietnam War. He came back and fought Joe Frazier in the first of their great battles in 1971, lost the fight. So now he was in a curious place. He needed to earn money and he was going around the world fighting every 4 to 6 weeks against people for guaranteed purses while he was waiting for Frazier to fight him again. Now he went on. The Croke Park fight comes before the Trilla in Manila, the Rumble in the Jungle, some of his most famous fights. So he was not washed up. This was not Ali, you know, in the doldrums of his career or anything like that. This was pure box office at the height of his fame, Muhammad Ali.
So you've described Buddy Sugrue, who's a small guy, but he could lift people with one hand. He had this pub in London, but he was involved with this guy called Conrad. Who is he?
Well, this is what makes it a great story is you have this fella from Killorglin, the circus strongman, and he's one half of the promotion team. And the other is Harold Conrad, who's this slick New Yorker, looks like Clark Gable, was very involved with the mob, Lucky Luciano and these people, was friends with Hemingway, Damon Runyon, was involved in the movies. Humphrey Bogart played Harold Conrad in The Harder They Fall. And so he's like the slick epitome of New York sophistication. And he's one half of the promotion team. It's a little and large combo. He's a tall guy. And you have Buddy then, who's like, Buddy was staying in a flat in Sean McDermott Street for the week of the fight. Harold Conrad had the suite in the Gresham Hotel, the penthouse suite in the Gresham Hotel, where Ronald Reagan, actually Governor Ronald Reagan at the time, was visiting Dublin. And he was staying down the corridor.
Right. And in these kind of modern trilogy fights that you see with Yuzenko and all these different ones and the Gypsy King and all of those, the purses are huge. What was the economics or the finances of this? What was the prize? What did it cost to put it on? You know, did it wipe its face in terms of the box office?
It was a box office disaster for reasons that were never really explained. Maybe the price of the tickets was a little too high. There's a very famous moment before the fight when the Dubliners start playing the national anthem in the ring. And at that point, the stadium's half empty. But just as they kick into Auron Avian, the Dubs come streaming in over Hill 16. They'd climbed in over the wall. There was thousands came in over the wall just before the fight started for free. So lots of people got in without paying. And lots of people, it was felt that Ali was knocking around Dublin for a week. Everybody had seen him. He'd walked down O'Connell Street. You know, he was out in Opperman's Hotel. You could just walk in there and see him. He'd come into the Gresham when he was bored at Opperman's Hotel. So everybody got to touch him and got close to him. So there was a sense that they didn't really have to pay to see him fight.
Okay. So, like, you know, I remember some legendary Late Late Show episodes with Gay Byrne and Muhammad Ali. Just tell me some of the escapades. He obviously was training here. He met the Taoiseach of the day. Just tell us some of the things that happened in this famous week.
Well, the day he went to, he meets Eddie Kerr and he tries hurling.
Oh, the famous Kilkenny hurler.
The famous Kilkenny hurler. He tries hurling. John Huston, the movie director, and John Borman, the other movie director, they come in to meet him. John Huston hosts a showing of his film, Fat City, here in Dublin. And then he goes to the Dáil for the day for no great reason except I think Jack Lynch invited him. Jack Lynch was the Taoiseach, and Jack Lynch was the first Western head of state ever to invite Muhammad Ali into his office. Timothy Chubb O'Connor, kind of a legendary Jackie Healy Ray character from Kerry politics at the time, he was centrally involved with Butty. So him and Butty kind of organised this. And Ali was in knocking around the Dáil for the whole afternoon, ate in the Dáil canteen, talked about the Northern Ireland situation with Jack Lynch. That was the other thing. Northern Ireland was on fire that week. It was one of the most turbulent weeks in Northern Ireland history. And Ali was very aware of that. Ali was very aware of that. He invited Bernadette Devlin down from the north to basically have lunch with him.
And he went to the Old Stand pub. Who's this Brynner guy?
The old Brenner's son, Rock Brenner, was an old hippie. Well, actually, he was a young hippie from the late 60s, early 70s. Long-haired, wearing a caftan and earrings and always carrying an acoustic guitar. And his official title was Muhammad Ali's bodyguard. But Rock Brenner had been to Trinity. He'd attended Trinity College. He used to drink in the Old Stand and he was dying to bring Ali into the Old Stand. And in a classically Dublin moment, he brought Ali into the Old Stand, and Rock Brenner told me that basically the barmen reacted as if it was the most normal thing in the world for Muhammad Ali to wander into the Old Stand in the middle of the afternoon, accompanied by his entourage.
So I take it that Ali won the fight.
Ali won the fight. It was not straightforward. He was actually sick. He was battling a cold, and Al Blue Lewis was a credible opponent. And they, you know, the fight was fairly mediocre. Really, it went on to the 11th round. And of course, at the end of the fight, there's another wonderful moment where the crowd wouldn't let Ali leave the ring to go to the dressing room. And somebody stood up. The crowd were milling around the ring. Ali couldn't get to the dressing room, and he was actually dying to go to the bathroom, as it turned out. And somebody said, you know, please, please let Muhammad go to the dressing room. And then a Dublin voice shouts out, let the dressing room come to Muhammad.
Finally, 37 years after 72, Ali returned to Ireland, and he had Parkinson's disease and he subsequently died from that. Tell us about this return sequel trip.
He came back to Dublin and to Ireland in 37 years later, and part of that, and I finished the book with this, is he goes to Ennis, where his maternal great-grandfather, Abe Grady, had left in the 1860s. And for New Orleans. He moved to New Orleans and worked his way up the Mississippi. So Ali, it was very touching, very poignant, but he was a very reduced, diminished version of himself. I mean, the loquacious, witty Ali from 1972 was long gone. He was kind of a shell of himself, debilitated by Parkinson's, but still, you know, creating memories for people. He still, I think, had a wonderful impact the day that he visited Ennis, and the people wrapped him in their warm embrace that day.
Okay, he was a truly iconic figure of the century. He was much larger than life. He was an iconic figure for his religion, for his race, and for Americans. So if you're a boxing fan, or if you're interested in that period, or in Croke Park history, the book is called The Big Fight, When Ali Conquered Ireland. It's published by Merrion Press. It's a paperback, and it's been a pleasure to talk to Dave Hannigan, our author.